إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. And dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you first and foremost to take the maximum advantage of this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tawfiq to take out of our schedules to be here. Therefore, make sure that you spend the time in the istimai amal that are being done, whether it's the classes, and you know the session starts with tahajjud. And so ensure that all of you are here in time for tahajjud, which begins at 3:30. Every second you waste, you don't come here, is a loss to you. And it makes no sense that you take the time out and you come and you spend the money and everything else, and at the end of that you don't benefit because you are sleeping or whatever it is, right? So please make sure that you are here. So also for all the classes, alhamdulillah, we have a full schedule, and therefore make sure you do that. Also that you do all the tasks that have been given to you, that are given to you in each class, so that you are up to date with whatever has been allotted. Today is Jumu'ah. It's time for, it's the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a sign, this day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept and give the slave whatever he asks for. So let us take full advantage of that. Make dua for yourself, of course, but also make dua for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make dua for the people of Gaza, make dua for the people, Muslims everywhere who are oppressed. Make dua for the Ummah in general, so that we learn to spend the time and the resources in creating institutions, in creating systems, in changing our own habits, so that we don't get into trouble in the first place. Because we know that nothing happens without the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us very clearly that His ahkam, His decisions come down based on our actions. So therefore, if we have good actions, then we have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we commit sins, then we have the admonition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore we need to look back at our own actions to see what is happening and why that is happening. There is a last two Jumu'ahs I did a series called Formula of Success in the Quran, which refers to this specifically. So listen to those lectures. There's a text that goes with it as well, so I'm sure you would have all got it. If you haven't got it, let me know and we'll make sure you get onto the group that so that you can get all that. Today I want to remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. When the Sahaba in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when they had the task of creating a calendar, an Islamic calendar, and there was discussion about when do we start this calendar, on what date, they did not pick the date of birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you can arguably say that maybe they didn't pick the date of birth because it was not clear, the date was not recorded, and several different narrations about when he was born. But the date of the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was well recorded. There's no difference of opinion about when he died. But they did not take that date. They took the date when the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into being. And that was the date of the Hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Now think about this, why did the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in consider that time or that date to be of such importance that effectively they started counting time from that date? It was almost as if to say whatever happened before that has no importance. What has importance is what started after that. And the reason for that, in my opinion, is that that was the date when the Muslim Ummah came into being. This Ummah came into being on the basis of a principle. And that principle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed in His Kalam. And what is that principle? Ana Rabbu. I am your Rabb. That is the basic principle on the basis of which this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into being. It is the principle on which one Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. Why? Because the Rabb said, our Rabb said, Ana Rabbu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said two things. Ana Rabbukum fa'budu and Ana Rabbukum fattaqun. Fa'budu has to do with belief, has to do with aqidah, has to do with ibadah. Fattaqun has to do with the rest of life. So it completely combines together, it combines everything to do with the human being and to do with the Muslim. Ana Rabbukum fa'budun means La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ana Rabbukum fa'budun is the aqeedah of the Muslim. La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Muslim worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He doesn't just say that Allah is worthy of worship, and then when the time for salah comes, he doesn't pray. No, that's not a Muslim. A Muslim is the one who says, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and he worships Him. So fa'budun has to do with everything to do with aqidah, and everything to do with all the ibadat of Islam. And fattaqun is to have taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the consciousness that I do not want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever. Taqwa is to stay away not only from the haram but also from the doubtful things. Taqwa is this consciousness of fearing the displeasure of Allah. Not fearing Allah. This is one of the translation problems. They translate taqwa as fear of Allah. It's not fear of Allah. Why is it not fear of Allah? Because fear is an emotion that produces hatred. Nobody loves what they fear. Ask your children if they go to a school and they don't like the teacher and they fear the teacher, they don't love that teacher. Ask people who are living under oppressive governments and under dictators. They fear the dictator, they fear the evil that will come from the dictator, so they keep their mouth shut, they don't talk out of turn, they keep their nose clean, but nobody loves that dictator. People have fear of dogs, people have fear of heights, nobody loves those dogs that they fear. People who love dogs, they don't fear dogs. And so on and so on. Whatever we fear, we hate. Fear produces hatred. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned as a quality of the believers, He said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, the believers are those who not only love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, but who love Allah more than anything else. أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. So how do you combine these two things? Fear and love. We combine it by saying, it is the fear of disobeying the one who I love. So the more I love Allah, the more I fear to disobey Him. The more I love Allah, the more I fear to displease him. So the greater the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater the taqwa of the person. So fa'budun has to do with la ilaha illallah. Fattaqun has to do with Muhammadur Rasulullah. Why? Because Muhammadur Rasulullah is our covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to taqwa. La ilaha illallah is our covenant with respect to ibadah. This is the beauty of this deen, of this kalima, of this deen. It is so complete. Unfortunately, we don't understand. We just say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. What is the meaning of that? La ilaha illallah, when I say, I am saying that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that's why he said, Ana rabbukum fa'budun. And when I say Muhammad Rasulullah, I am saying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I follow him, meaning what? You follow him where? Only in salah? I follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything in my life. And what is the one word of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all your life? At-taqwa. The sunnah is taqwa. The sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taqwa. And that is the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. For the one who follows the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, I will love him. The only thing for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to love the slave is the ittiba of the sunnah. Nothing. Allah did not say, establish salah and I will love you. Allah did not say, make hajj and I will love you. Allah did not say, fast in Ramadan. Allah said, fast in Ramadan for your own benefit, because it is better for you. La'allakum tattaqoon, so that you will become people of muttaqeen, people who are muttaqeen. Allah did not say, we love you. But with the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fattabiuni yuhibbukum Allah. Say to them who claim to love Allah, your claims have no meaning. You can claim whatever you want. And if you love Allah, so what? You may love Allah, Allah does not love you. Big deal. But you want Allah to love you? Follow me. Make my ittiba. Imitate me. Emulate me. I have explained the difference between ittiba and itaat in the other lectures, so I won't go into that. But very quickly, itaat is obedience, meaning that there is a hukum which you follow. There is a hukum which you comply with. Ittiba does not need a hukum. Ittiba is an expression of pure love. You imitate, you emulate the one you love, not because he told you to do this or that. You emulate or imitate the one you love because you love him. You try to look like him, you walk like him, you imitate him, you talk to him, talk like him, and so on and so on. Not because he told you to do that, but because he is your role model. Because you love him, because you want to be as much like him as is humanly possible. So you do what he told you to do, and you do what he may not have mentioned, just because he did it. Ittiba is an expression of love. And Allah Jalla Jalalu said, if you love my Nabi, I will love you. If you imitate and emulate my Nabi, I will love you. And that is the Ana Rabbukum Fattakun. Ana Rabbukum Fa'budun has to do with the, there are five aspects of Islam. Aqeedah, Ibadah, Akhlaq, Mu'amilat, Mu'ashira. The belief, worship, everything to do with worship, manners, dealings with people, and our society. The first two are Huquq al-Ibad, The other three are first two are huququllah, and the other three are huququl ibad. Such a complete deen, mashallah, that we have. Ana rabbukum fa'budun has to do with the first two, huququllah. Ana rabbukum fattaqun has to do with the other three, huququl ibad. Because when a person leads a life of taqwa, how are his manners? The best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this about his Nabi. He said, you are in the highest level of character and manners. How are your dealings with people? Will you deceive people? Will you lie? Will you cheat? If you are a person of taqwa? No. Why? Because you will apply the same principle that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with respect to salah. You will apply the principle that he said when he explained al-ihsan in Hadith Jibreel. And what did he say? And he expressed it this way, and I mentioned before, this was the way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the way of the Sahaba that the salah was the symbol of everything for them. So they mentioned things in terms of salah, where it was not restricted to salah alone. That was a symbol, it was the head of the matter. And so if that is what you did in salah, you carried it out in the rest of your life. The same principle applied in the rest of your life. And what did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with respect to ihsan? He said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَحْ. It is to worship Allah as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَكَ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَالسَّلَامِ. And he said, if you do not see, and we do not see Allah, but we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us. So when this person now is doing dealings, when he has his mu'amilat with people, he owes something to somebody, he has to give something to somebody, he has to fulfill the rights of his family, fulfill the rights of the people, fulfill the rights of the country that he lives in, and so on. He's driving on the road. He's thinking about his neighbors, and so on and so forth. What is the principle that he's operating on? Antaabudallaha ka'annaka tara. He's making the dealing, he's selling the product as if he can see Allah. He's selling the product knowing Allah is seeing him. He's talking on the phone as if he can see Allah, knowing that Allah is seeing him. He's driving his car on the road as if he can see Allah. Everything, every single thing. He puts his shoes in a line in the masjid as if he can see Allah. It's the house of Allah. I don't come there and throw my shoes around. No, it's the house of Allah. I treat it with the respect that is due to it. He comes into the masjid. His children come, they're screaming and running around like little banshees. He controls them. This is the house of Allah. How else do you think tarbiyah happens? It's a strange thing, as parents, we create little monsters, you know, one-year-old monsters and two-year-old monsters. And why? Because you keep giving in and you keep giving in and keep giving in. And when that person becomes 16 and 18, now you are in a daze. You say, my son is like this, my daughter is like this. Your son and daughter was not born at the age of 18. That's what you created, so enjoy it now. Why? Because no taqwa. We have taken taqwa and restricted its meaning to the musalla. And even that, I don't know what we do. Taqwa is the whole of our life. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described his ummah, what did he describe? What did he say? Ana rabbukum fa'budun wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. Ana rabbukum fa'budun is la ilaha illallah. Ana rabbukum fattaqun is Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is our complete deen. And the basis of this ummah is what? Ana rabbukum. Khalas. Somebody asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, who is a Muslim? He said, the one who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And he worships in the direction of the Kaaba. And he eats what we slaughter. Bas. And when we do that, we have the promise of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah helps the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah does not help those who separate themselves out of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the condition, who is an Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Of course, even the person who does not accept Islam is an Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us not forget that. The whole concept and focus of Dawah is based on love. Why? Why are you taking this Islam to somebody who does not have Islam? If you didn't love that person, where would you go to him? If you didn't love the person, you would say, well, I hope you roast in hell. I mean, why do I care? Stay there. Don't enter Islam. But you don't do that. We don't do that. You go there, even though you are repulsed, even though you may not be welcome, you still go there, you still present Islam. Why? Because you love the people. Dawah is the greatest expression of love for another human being. So everyone, whether he is a Muslim or not, whether he is an atheist or not, whether he is whoever, as long as it's a human being, all human beings and all jinn, they are the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that Ummah has some of them who accept him, what we call Ummah of Ijabat, and there are others who don't accept him, we call them Ummah of Dawat. But they are all the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they accept him or they don't accept him. But in this Ummah, we are talking about the Ummah of Ijabat, who people have accepted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, people like us. If we create divisions in this Ummah, then I don't know whether we will be considered to be part of the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Ummah was based, the principle of the formation of the Ummah is, Allah said, Ana Rabbukum. I am your Rabb. Today we live in a world where we talk the language of divisions. All kinds of divisions. And we say so and so's akhidah is not correct. And this man is committing shirk. And this man is doing bid'ah. And this man is doing something else. I am not saying that any akhidah is right. I am not saying that shirk is correct. I am not saying that bid'ah should be done. I am only saying that Allah did not give you the right to point that finger and exit this one from Islam and exit that one from Islam. That's not your right. As far as you are concerned, as long as the man or the woman said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they are Muslim. Whether they said it sincerely or not is not your problem, because you did not go into their heart to see their sincerity. Whether they are saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and they are bowing to a grave or they are asking help from somebody inside a grave, that is not your problem. Let them do it. If you consider it to be wrong and I consider it to be wrong, go and tell them nicely. Make friends with them, explain to them what is the problem with shirk. If they accept it, alhamdulillah. If they don't accept it, make dua for them. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night, ask Allah to give them hidayah. But you and I or nobody has any right to pronounce takfir on them, to exit them from Islam, to hate them, to fight with them. No. That Allah did not give us the right. Because even the one he is worshipping, he is making sujood on the grave, he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And you and I are not going to sit in judgment on them. Allah is not going to ask your opinion what he should do with them. Allah will not ask their opinion what he should do with you. So let us worry about ourselves. And as far as those people are concerned, they are our brothers and sisters. No matter what they did, they are our brothers and sisters. Why? Because they said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Please understand this. There is no separation and division in Islam on the basis of language, on the basis of religion, on the basis of color, on the basis of tribe, on the basis of nationality, on the basis of race, on the basis of gender. Everybody in Islam, as long as they say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, they are all equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. That is the entry point. They are all inside. Now once they are inside, somebody is sitting on a chair, somebody is sitting on a sofa, somebody is floating in the air, that's a different matter. That's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He wants to do. What daraja Allah wants to give is with Allah. Allah did not appoint you to give that daraja to this one or that one. So don't take on yourself the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say this is a kafir, this is falan, and this is falan. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. That's not your job. Allah did not send us to send other people out of Islam. Our job is to keep the ummah together. Our job is to join the hearts. Our job is always to speak the language of unity. Always to speak the language of compassion. Always to speak the language of kindness and of mercy. Because that is who our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He was the messenger of mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we've sent you for this. So this ummah is based on that principle. And therefore I remind myself and you, let us never forget that principle. Every single Muslim, whether he is whatever he calls himself, whatever the world calls him, is our brother and our sister. And we treat them like our brothers and like our sisters. We treat them with respect. We treat them with kindness, with mercy. We give them izzah, which is due to them because they are Muslims. And we apply the same principle even to those who are not Muslims. We treat them also with respect. We treat them also with izzah. We treat them also with kindness and compassion. Because that's the only way that you are going to take Islam to them, because they will not, if they don't even like your face, they are not going to talk to you. And that is what I want to say to you today. Let us use this day of Jummah to make lots of dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept those duas, to correct our own attitudes as they might be. Start seeing our brothers and sisters as our brothers and sisters. Save yourselves save ourselves from all forms of divisions and all forms of discrimination, and follow this beautiful religion which is free from discrimination, which is free from all kinds of divisions, and which promotes a brotherhood that is not based on race, not based on color, not based on any of these things, but it is based on faith. It is based on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is our Rabb. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.